Dan kita ingin membincangkan berkenaan dengan risiko yang diberikan kepada pasaran oleh Evergrande dan juga apakah yang dapat dijangka menjelang Khamis ini dan juga sama ada Beijing akan campur tangan ataupun tidak, bersama dengan Stephen Innes, rakan niaga pengurusan SPI Asset Management yang kini berada di Toronto. Stephen, thank you for joining us. Stephen, tell us about Evergrande and how news of its possible default is affecting markets in Asia. Do we expect cross defaults to happen?
Yeah, hi, Ruth. I think the big issue we have right now is really what's expected in the bond markets right now. I'm viewing here that we're probably going to get a bounce off the lows if contagion to be broadly limited in the event of restructuring. However, a high degree of contagion and a full liquidation. I think this is where the market's getting a little bit confused right now, whether we're going to have a full liquidation or whether we're going to have a restructuring event.
Mm-hmm. This would perhaps affect investors, buyers and suppliers, yes? How far-reaching would this be?
Well, if we look at what's going on in the markets right now, we have a lot of exposure into the China the China developer sectors, not only in Asia, but also globally. We're looking at investor sentiment right now. Lots of money's been flying into stock markets right now. So we're having two risk factors. We're having this Asia credit risk that's manifesting itself into a global phenomenon. We also have the Federal Reserves and other central banks around the world looking to withdraw emergency funds. This is sort of a double whammy effect, and it could pretend to be quite negative for markets if we do have a full-scale capitulation on China credit.
But do we know of banks, you mentioned exposure, right? But do we know of banks, creditors in Southeast Asia or Hong Kong with significant exposure to Evergrande?
Well, I think really the question is who's not exposed. I think the market has been running with a too-big-to-fail narrative. In other words, lots of banks and lots of investors are thinking that, well, even if we do have a bit of a rundown in credit in China, the PBOC and other Chinese regulators will step in as, a savior. But this may not happen this time around, and this is a bit of an issue right now. So the markets are a little bit confused as to what direction policymakers in China are going to take during this event.
But do you believe that Beijing would perhaps intervene to stop Evergrande from defaulting? What scenarios are other analysts discussing right now?
Well, we're looking at small steps right now. So today's PBOC daily open market operation after the holiday break could potentially be important. I think if there's a large net injection, it may signal a Beijing's intent to reduce systematic risk here. On the other hand, if the PBOC withdraws funds, it could mean that they're prepared to tolerate higher market volatility as the developer moves closer to default. Last week, the PBOC boosted liquidity to its highest level. Now, if we're looking at whether we'll have sort of an effect where we saw back during the Lehman crisis where central banks and the government step in to support the banks, I'm not quite sure about that. That's what we really have to watch. I'm not a credit analyst, so I have to really keep an eye on how the bond markets are moving, and this is really what's going to give us the biggest keys as to what's going to be happening on that front.
But besides that, how would this be different from what happened to Lehman Brothers?
Well, it's very easy to draw comparisons to for this event as to what happened in Lehman Brothers because they're both around property issues. Mm. I think, however, the exposure of U.S. banks and a lot of subprime lenders in the U.S. was a lot larger. And this is what sort of caught this sort of cataclysmic meltdown that we had back in the Lehman crisis. Global banks aren't exposed to as much to China. Sure, they have risk on the books, but it's not a colossal amount of risk. I think this will be more of a China-contained issue, and whether China steps in to contain this issue, this is really what's going to be the biggest picture. My feeling here, it's not going to be a full liquidation. I still think there's going to be a restructuring. Restructuring means there's going to be a little bit of a period of detente here, where risk will probably stabilize over a period of time, but I don't think this is going away anytime soon. I don't think we're going to hit a Black Monday-type scenario, but I don't think the risk is going to go away anytime soon either.
White House said that Evergrande's business are mainly in China, as you said earlier, and don't expect the effects to be global. Do you think this is a bit too optimistic or too soon to be saying something like that?
Well, if we let our imaginations run wild on the possible contagion risks in the world's second largest economy and across the globe, you combine that with the feeling that investors are overly exposed into U.S. stocks right now, as you know, clearly evidenced by the $46 billion that flowed into U.S. equity funds week through September 15, the most since March, in fact, and that the Fed Reserve is really can't do anything about it. It's easy to see why looming corrections in stock markets are sort of ringing everywhere right now. Yeah, I think the White House is underestimating this. But again, we have to realize this is a political thing right now. The White House is probably more happy to see this happening in China right now because of the political battles that they continue to go through. You know, we thought we'd have a little bit of a detente as the Democrats come in, but it seems that the Democrats are no more combative towards China than what the Trump administration was. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out over time.
Let's steer off Evergrande situation for a bit and look at Beijing's stricter regulations on some sectors affecting the... would that, do you think, perhaps affect the attractiveness of shares of these companies?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, there's a couple of things that we're trying to identify here, you know, as they move on to a more social system in China right now, where there's more equality getting driven behind their policy moves. I think this tells us one thing here. You know, although we don't have a lot of details, so I'm really just voicing an opinion here, all around the broader message of common prosperity. You know, China's pushing ahead with its social agenda. That seems pretty clear to me. And by viewing it independently from the economic cycle, I think this suggests to me that, you know, the PBOC is not going to be as forthcoming with monetary stimulus. Well, so if we look at this from a fundamental perspective and the bank doesn't come out with fundamental stimulus, regardless of what happens in the background on the credit issue, without that stimulus, markets won't lift off like they have been doing for years. And that seems to be a problem. So I don't think it's just an idiosyncratic situation. I think it's a market, broader market concern that's really enveloping this Evergrande situation.
Mm-hmm. And Stephen, let's talk about the FOMC meeting. Would we get something a bit more precise regarding when the Fed could start to taper?
It's interesting, again, deferring to the bond markets, because I think those are really the best signposts because they are really the gauge of future interest rate sentiments. To me, it looks like U.S. Treasuries, along with other assets like gold, for instance, seem to be coalescing around a November taper rather than a sooner taper. You know, this, to me, seems to be a growing consensus here that the FOMC might actually come through with this November taper. I think given the weaker CPI and the weaker payrolls data of late, I think we're moving towards a later as opposed to a sooner taper. I think November is likely the option, and I think they're going to start reducing purchases by around $15 billion per month. Mm-hmm. It sounds reasonable to me, split $10 billion between treasuries and $5 billion between mortgage-backed securities. I think that'll bring tapering to the end by July, and then we could possibly move into the rate hike cycle. And I think this is where the bigger element of risk lies for global markets once the Federal Reserve starts to raise interest rates, not necessarily withdraw emergency accommodation, which arguably is not really needed anymore because we're pretty close to the end of the pandemic, which is now moving into an endemic. I think we have to keep an eye again on how rates are developing here rather than sentiment. I think sentiment sometimes drives the markets, but I think it's very important to keep an eye on what the bond markets are telling us, and the bond markets continue to suggest taper later rather than sooner.